Scott Loveday has been part of our youth leadership team for a while now. He was scheduled to preach a few weeks ago, but the lockdown happened, so he's had a few more weeks to prepare. Please stand to your feet and give a massive welcome to Scott Loveday. Woo!
Thank you very much. Get keen, everybody. Get keen. Oh, thank you, Omid. Praise God for Omid. It is wonderful to see you all today. I think, like, where do we even begin at this moment? We have already sort of received so much. Man, what about what Pastor Chris Bowman said, you know, where we're giving praises to God and the enemy has to go outside because his voice can no longer be heard? Somebody write that down. You know? What about these amazing prophetic words? You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Wonderful worship. Oscar. And Elias, that was amazing. Elias, to pray for somebody's tumor at the boxing club. I love boxing. Love it. Barry saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Haven't we already had so much goodness this morning? I feel like, how could I even add to that? I feel humbled, but so privileged to share with you amazing people this morning. Even though Matt Prater says that I'm a guest, man, I feel like I belong to you. I belong to this church. And without sounding weird, you all belong to me. My heart is knitted to you. And I love you. I really do. I know that sounds funny, but I love you. And you guys are my spirit people. I love you too. I love you. I love you, Scotty. Ben, it's so wonderful to have you here today. I'm so honored by you. Love you all. Aaron, I love that YouTube clip. I had a look at that. So what you gonna do, lad? I love it. And Jason and Heidi, it's a privilege to have you here today as well. God bless you. Luke, so good to see you too. So the topic today is around helping people. Now I want to explore some scriptures that poke us and prod us and feed us and inspire us to the sort of people Jesus is looking for. We're going to talk through a parable. We're going to have a little fun. But I also want to explore a concept from Galatians chapter 6, which gives us insight and gives us wisdom in and around helping people. Has anybody here ever been helpful towards someone before? Who knows that you need wisdom when you're helping people? It's probably easier, now I'm the worst with this, but it's probably easier to fix a car in many cases as compared to working with people. Now I'm real bad at fixing cars too. I wish I was a bit better that way. And finally, I'll share what our faith is really all about, and I'll give people a chance to respond. Before I get into it today, I want to pray. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be me, but that it would be you speaking this morning, that you would feed us with your word, that you would instruct us and teach us with your word, that you would build us up, and that, Lord, we would go out here just a little bit better off and nice and fed with your goodness. I pray that you'd help me today to get this message through in Jesus' name. If you've got your Bibles, then pat yourselves on the back. I'm old school, like paper Bibles, woo-woo. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 10, to the parable of the Good Samaritan, okay? Parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. I'm just going to get into it here. One day, an expert in religious law, he stood up and tested Jesus, asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responded, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, well, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength, and all of your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus said. Do this, and you will live. But the man, wanting to justify his actions, asks Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" That's a good question. And Jesus replied with a story. And now I'm going to need some help here. Okay, Matt, if I could grab you and just plonk your jacket on just for, you won't need the script this time around. Plonk the jacket on just for dramatic effect. Okay, Matt, you go over there. Who's feeling dangerous this morning, hey? Do I have any gangsters in the house? Do I have any gangsters? Yep. Yeah, come on out here, you. Jason, come on out. You're actually real gentle, but I know you're as strong as an ox. Come on out, Jason. Good on. Yep. Aaron, can I borrow you? Aaron, would that be okay? And AJ? Yeah, please. Please. Yeah. Yeah. Who else do I need? I'm going to read off Matt's script. Yeah, I need a mob of bandits. That's you. You want to be one? Get in on that. I'm thinking of Oscar for this particular person. Oscar, could you be the temple priest? And I need a Levite. I'm thinking, would I be able to borrow you? Sorry, is that Stephen? Scott, come on, you can be the Levite. Or yeah. No, I know you're Scott. I was asking about you. Are you Stephen? I'm so sorry. Oh, Sean, I'm sorry. Well, Sean, you come up and you be the Levite. Scotty, you relax. You relax. I need Carlos. Carlos, thank you. You're beautiful. You won't need a script this time around, but next time you will. Come on up. He gets to be the Good Samaritan. He's very important. You know who else is very important here? I need a donkey. Who has got to be the donkey? I want someone strong. I mean, Chris, you're strong, but Steve, I know you're real strong. Yeah. Actually, Chris does go to the gym a lot. He's actually very strong. Don't be fooled by his boy-like appearance. I'm a snake in the grass, aren't I? Here's a prophetic word about a donkey. It's not bad to be a donkey, okay? Jesus came into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Is Jesus coming into Brisbane City on your back? Is he coming into Brisbane City on you? Can you carry Jesus into a city like any old donkey? I think you can. And lastly, I'd like Barry to be the innkeeper. Barry can be the innkeeper. Where are you, Barry? Bless you, Barry. Wonderful. Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. Okay, so as I read this, I just need you to play along with me and act along. Matt, you're the Jewish man. Here we go. A Jewish man was traveling. From Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he was attacked by bandits. Ah! Come on, mobsters. Yeah, yeah. Attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his jacket. They laid the foot in. And they left him half dead beside the road. Thank you, bandits. It's beautiful. And there he was, half dead, on the road to Jericho. By chance, a priest, all clothed in white, came along. But when he saw the man lying there, yes, he did see him, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant, a Levite, came by. And even though he looked at him lying there, he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along and he saw the man and he felt compassion. He felt compassion for the man. He's gone over to the man. He has soothed those wounds with olive oil. And And some wine. Have a drink. And some wine. Praise the Lord. And he put the man on his own donkey. Very important, the donkey. And he took him over to Barry, the innkeeper. And he said, "Hello, Baz." And over there at the inn, he took care of him. The next day, the Good Samaritan handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, and he told him, "Please take care of this man. Hey, if his bill runs any higher than this, I will pay you the next time I come through here." Give our actors a clap, guys. Now, which of these three, Jesus says, was the neighbor to the man attacked by the bandits? The lawyer replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus replied, "Yes, now go and do the same." So this story has come out of the question, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor that I'm supposed to love? I mean, can I love everyone? Can I help everyone? I don't know if I have it all together. I don't have time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the money or the knowledge. Will they even accept my help? Will they like me? Do I even like them? Do I agree with them? This is stressful. I can't fix everything. I can't fix everyone. What does the Lord expect of me? Am I my brother's keeper? For the honest person, for the honest Christian, these must be questions that we all think about. We all ask these questions. But Jesus keeps it so simple. Could Jesus be saying here that your neighbor is anyone who crosses your path? Whether you plan for it or not, in your journey, in your day-to-day, they're just the ones who come across your path who simply need a bit of helping. They're hurting, they're down and out, and they need you to give them a hand. Or what about this? Could Jesus also be saying, care about those people who pop up along your path? Could this parable also be saying that you don't have to fix someone in order to help someone? Oh, I have to say it again. You don't have to fix someone in order to give them a little help. I can barely fix myself. I can't fix it. I can't change it all today. But what can I do right now to help? I think sometimes we get stuck. I get stuck on the big picture stuff, and it turns me right off actually doing the small stuff, like showing a little kindness and a little help to someone who needs it right now. And let me backtrack a minute to the priest, right? That could be us. We're a Christian. We're here in church, or the Levite in this story. Jesus wasn't asking the priest or the Levite to turn back all of the hearts of the Jewish nation towards Father God. He wasn't asking the priest or the Levite to make peace with their enemies, like the Samaritans. But what Jesus was pointing out was that in their day-to-day usual activity, they have removed themselves from helping their fellow human being, and that bothered him. By not doing something that was in their power to do, they were not fulfilling God's sacred law or his high calling of loving thy neighbor. But yet the guy who's out of the people of God, out of the Holy Rollers Club, not the guy that we expect, actually turns up and fulfills the law beautifully. The injured Jewish man is supposed to be their own guy, but they had failed to act neighborly towards him. So for us today, New Hope Church, I'm not asking you to personally fix homelessness in Brisbane or poverty in your whole suburb. But if God puts it in your heart to buy a Subway for someone and buy the sandwich, I'm not asking you to personally bridge the gap between different cultures or different religions. But if you see a Muslim person in trouble, like broken down in their car, would you jump out, give them a jump start, or push the car somewhere safe and help them out if you're able to? The point Jesus is making to the lawyer, and I believe to all of us today, is that you don't have to look out there for who is my neighbor, but ask instead, am I neighborly to people when it matters? Am I the sort of person? Are we the sort of Christians that move towards opportunities to help people rather than away? Because you might be a Levite. You might even be like a priest or a teacher. But for the people in your life who are hurting, what profit is that to them if you pass by on the other side of the road, yeah? Pastor Matt Prater often says, people don't care how much you know, but they really want to know how much you care. Come. And here at New Hope Church, we are spoiled for choice when it comes with ways to help out and with ways to help people. People are always needed. No, you are always needed to help run Bible study in the shelters. People are always needed to help out at King's Table. People are always needed, even just in the background, for a few hours here and there, to put in some work and help make sure everything is organized. People are needed to launch out into new ministries and out into new grounds for good and for God. Amen? Let's be helpful and let's be friendly to those who need help when it is in our power to do so. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it to you, when you have it with you right now. James 4:17 says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Remember, you don't have to change the whole world, but can you do something small to impact the people who come across your path every day? Can you show mercy? Can you be neighborly to somebody this week? How are we going this morning? Now, anybody who takes this stuff on board today, we still need to exercise wisdom and strength when it comes to helping people. It gets complicated quick. Ain't that true? I think we've all been helpful towards someone in life before, only to have it suddenly backfire. And suddenly we're in the firing line. When you get involved in someone's situation, you still need boundaries. It's not wrong to have boundaries. Amen? Now, let's say we look at the parable of the Good Samaritan again, for instance. I wanted to just play with this a bit today, just to sort of highlight some points. If I could just grab the Good Samaritan, Carlos, great job, and our injured man, great job, and come on up here, take your place. We're going to have a little play here, drama two, boys, at an alternate ending to this story. Oh, microphone.
Okay. Hello. Testing. Hello. Yep. Hey. Cool. Okay, young man, I have business waiting for me in Jericho, which I must attend to. it is now time for you to rest and time for me to go.
What? You're not leaving me now, are you? I need you. I need your help. I need your company. I need your constant protection in my case, in case there's any more highway robbers.
I really need to get to Jericho. If I don't get there, my supplier will sell all his linen and clothes to the other merchants, and I will not be able to continue my business. This is the reason that I was on the same road as you in the first place.
But what about me? It isn't fair. Don't you care that I'm just left here alone to rot?
Well, I expect you will make a full recovery, not rot. Please don't talk like that. You're overdramatic. And besides, the innkeeper isn't going to let any stranger come into your room. Rest now. I truly believe that here you are safe. When you're all recovered, you can catch a ride with the other Jewish travelers coming through here.
But I don't want to catch a ride with someone else. I want you to help me. I don't want to meet anyone new. I've already been through enough, and I really don't want you to leave me now. Please stay here with me.
Oh, man. Well, I guess I'll just have to stay then.
Good. Then all of your kindness will have meant something. It's good to finish what you start. Now, would you mind ordering me another meal while you're up, please?
It's called Uber Eats.
So good. Obviously, the parable reads very differently in reality. And in fact, I'll read it at around about that spot. Here we are, verse 35. The next day, he handed the keeper to take care of this man at the Buran's hire paid. Here, 36. That's right. Yes. So yeah, he handed the innkeeper two silver coins and said, "Take care of this man, and I'll pay you if he runs the bill higher next time I'm here." The good Samaritan departed. He left. He left the inn. Whoa, wait a minute. Does that make him a bad guy? Is he now being unloving towards his neighbor? This is hard. It's complicated. As I said, fixing a car, even though I can't do it, it's got to be much easier. Well, let's go on into drama three. We're going to continue down the path of our alternate ending.
Oh no, by now I'm too late for the suppliers and I won't have any business until next month now. I really wish I had gone to Jericho earlier.
On top of that, innkeeper Barry is requesting some payment for our extended stay and all that extra room service that I've been requesting. It's been so yummy. And I actually don't have any money to pay him. I don't suppose you could take care of this again, could you?
Well, I can't. With no more business this month, I won't be able to pay the innkeeper Barry. For the both of us staying here, maybe we can pay him with our labor and by working for him or something.
Oh, no. Working, not me. No. You got all this wrong, buddy. You're the one who brought us here to this inn. You got us into the mess, so you can get us out of it.
Let's give these beautiful people a round of applause. I'm glad that the parable doesn't end that way. Sometimes people have to say no. And when they do that, it doesn't make them bad and it doesn't make them lazy. It's possible that it's a thoughtful no, a very thoughtful no. It's possible that they're exercising boundaries. So how can we be wise as we help people in our lives, like the Good Samaritan? How do we exercise that wisdom when we're helping somebody, especially if it works out to be a difficult somebody? Well, I think we've got an answer in Galatians chapter 6. I think that there is some wisdom here in the scripture. I'm just going to go ahead and get into that right now. Galatians chapter 6. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer, or let's say even another one, is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Actually, I'm going to stop there for a minute. Can I borrow your script again, please? I've put here in the New King James Version. I like how it reads in the New King James. Here we go. Brethren, that's how you know it's New King James. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. It reads in the NLT like this. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. And let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And then verses 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Hang on a minute. Didn't it just say, three verses up, bear one another's burdens, and so forth for the law of Christ? And then only a few short verses down, it says, for each one shall bear his own load. What? Is that a contradiction? Is that confusing? It is confusing to me. It really was. What's the difference between someone's burden and someone's load? A load becomes a burden on someone when they can no longer carry it by themselves. I want to say that again. A load becomes a burden on someone when they can no longer carry it by themselves. A burden is too heavy. It's something that's too much for you to carry alone. But thank the Lord, many of our burdens do not last forever. Often, over time, that burden subsides and becomes your bearable load again. A load, alternatively, are the responsibilities that we can and should expect from someone. I mean, you can load a donkey up with something and it will be expected to carry those things. But don't put too much on the poor fella, otherwise it'll become too great of a burden for him. With the parable of the Good Samaritan, the injured man was obviously in a burdened state. He was left for dead on the side of the road. He couldn't get himself to where he needed to go. He didn't have what he needed to get himself out of this situation that had come across him. He was burdened. And the Good Samaritan comes along and helps him with that. But soon, the load of the injured man was to rest himself, to get better, and to soon enough be back up on his feet and on his way again. Amen? Oh, let me give you a real-life example here, and this is something that happens to all of us. In fact, I think it's something that has happened to some of us even very recently. And I'm speaking about, let's say, a family loses a loved one. If that's you here, we love you. We wrap our arms around you. And we want you to know that we're praying for you, that God would walk with you in this time of pain. And so a family loses a loved one. Maybe the next day, going back to work like normal or going to school is too much for them to handle. And that's okay. It's too much of a burden. Man, you know something? Even leaving the house or maybe even getting out of bed the next day might be too much for them. And that's okay. That's okay. Maybe even cooking a meal for themselves just seems too overwhelming. It's too much in those first few days after losing a precious family member or a relative. So New Hope Church, let's reach out to those ones and cook them a meal. Let's show mercy if they need to sit out of their busy working life or they need to sit out of their busy church roster for a few weeks or even longer. Take them over some flowers if you need to. Give them the extra time. Be neighborly. Be good Samaritans to those ones. But when the initial shock is over, and as the grieving begins, eventually they will cook meals for themselves again. Eventually they will step back into their working commitments and their other commitments in their life. Those things that were a burden, they were too much, they were too hard for them back then, are now part of their load again today. And it's healthy. These are some of the sorts of things that nobody can really do for you. You need to do these things for yourself most of the time. If we are hurting, if we are grieving, getting out of bed every day, allowing ourselves to feel happy when a good thing happens in your life, finding the strength inside to love your kids and family, that is your load. Nobody can do that for you. It might also be the same when a family welcomes a new arrival, like Peter and Kylie. Congratulations. Great to see you guys here. Woo! I wouldn't expect for Peter and Kylie to come home and then just put baby down and go, all right, well, I'm off to work. All right, well, I'm going to cook a meal. Oh, look, we've got these church commitments tomorrow. Those things are too much of a burden. Even though it's a happy thing, they're welcoming a new arrival. Who knows that when you have a bebe, you need some helping? Does that sort of make sense, what I'm saying? Let's be people that help others carry their burdens. But let's not overstep our boundaries and carry people's load for them, especially when we shouldn't. Everybody has personal responsibilities, and everybody has the things in their life that nobody can or should be doing for them. And I think the art of it is trying to work out in the given situation what is somebody's burden versus what is somebody's load. It's not easy. I want to share with you another real-life example of this, and I'm beginning to tie this up. Downstairs, there's the King's Cupboard. This is a burden ministry, not a load ministry. If someone is so burdened to a point where they need some basic assistance with food, then our humble King's Cupboard at New Hope Church is a ministry for them. It is a burden type of ministry. But I think that we all kind of know that we can't just back in and fill up our cars with food on a continual basis, right? Hopefully we can be people who pour into and give into the King's Cupboard when times are good, amen? For most of us in this blessed nation, it is part of our own load to provide ourselves and our households with good food, obviously. But I think that would be an interesting exercise to go through each ministry and each work in our church and discuss which of them are burden-style ministries versus which ones are continual, long-term, load-empowering ministries. I know that, is it next Saturday, Pastor Chris Bowman's doing a seminar on finances. Clearly a load thing. No one can really do your finances for you in most situations. That's something that you need to do for yourself. And so there's a ministry for that. It's a load ministry, not a burden ministry. It's a load ministry. So as I finish this message this morning, I want to summarize. When it's in your power to help someone who crosses your path, no matter who it is, help them. For in so doing, you glorify God and you show the whole world his loving heart. You display just the kind of heart that Jesus is looking for in his followers. When helping someone, make sure that your help is easing their burden. Help them during the times that they truly need it. Often it is only for a time, and for a season is that type of help. And number three, be very clear in your own mind and be clear with those whom you help in regards to what is the burden versus what is the load in the given situation. Remember, you can still be helpful and you can still say no in order that you will not grow weary in doing good, as we read about in also Galatians 6 and chapter 6 and verses 9. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we've heard a parable today. We've had some fun today, but we remember, Lord, that it reflects your loving heart towards us. In a way, all of us are the injured Jew from time to time, and all of us need a Good Samaritan to lift us up. Lord, your heart is the heart of the Good Samaritan, and we pray that you would infill our hearts with the sort of love and the sort of strength needed to be helpful and to be neighborly when it is in our power to do so. Finally, Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to know what is the burden versus what is the load. And help us not to grow weary in well-doing. I bless everybody here. I thank you for these amazing people, helpful people, neighborly people, people who will go out and shine your light in Brisbane. I bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, before I sit down and before it's all said and done today, I just wanted to give people a chance to respond. I want to just say to you here, and I almost feel more comfortable now that I'm not reading my notes. That you're a sinner and that I'm a sinner. That's the way we were born. That's the way we were born. You can try to be good. You can try every day. And guess what? Just like me, you'll fail. In fact, just like me, you'll fail every day. But Jesus knows this. And that's why he came into the world. If you would humble yourself and say, you know what? I can't be good enough by myself. I can't get to heaven by myself. In fact, all of this stuff is too much of a burden for you. You can't do it. You can't save yourself. You'll never save yourself. That's why Jesus had to come and be our sacrifice and stand in our place and take on our sin, which he did. He took on our sin so that when the Lord God looks at you, he sees his perfect Son. But in order to be a part of that, it requires a decision. You've got to be big enough to admit that you don't have it all together. You've got to be big enough to admit that you know some stuff, but you don't know enough to get yourself to heaven. If I could ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. Jesus is the Savior. He came and lived a perfect human life. He has taken your sin. Would you give it to him today? God loves you so much. Respond today. Oh, hey.
to Jesus? Are you someone today who needs to make a decision to say, Jesus, I want to belong to you. I want to be yours. I want to accept what you've done on the cross and say today that now I'll be your follower. Now I'll be your man. Now I'll be your woman. Is there anyone out here today like that? Anyone here today that knows that they need to say yes to Jesus? You recognize your own sin. You know that it's too much of a burden, but he'll take it from you today. Are there any hands coming up across that place? I'm just scanning across the audience. He loves you and he wants to reach out to you. He's not afraid. Man, you could have done this, that, and the other. He's not afraid. He knows it all. And he loves you. Is there anyone today that would reach out to him that needs to say, yes, Jesus, I don't think I'm saved. I don't think I can do it all by myself. I need you. I am a sinner. Save me, Jesus. I see that hand. Just 5 more seconds, 10 more seconds as I just look across the audience one last time. I see that hand. Thank you so much. You can put it down now. All right, everybody. Well, you all can open your eyes and you can just sort of move your shoulders. And here we go. Coming to the end of the service again. I want to say it's so wonderful to be back with you in the house of God today. Such a pleasure to share worship time and to hear about what's going on in the life of the church and to have a little bit of a feed and some fun in the Word of God. For those people who put up their hands, I just wanted to say at the end of the service, we want to put Pastor Chris Bowman just up here. He would like to meet you. We would like to say a prayer for you, and he'd also like to put a Bible into your hand. I'll quickly say for those people as well, may God seal in their hearts that decision today. Yeah, whether you put up your hand one time or 100 times, God sees your heart. He loves you, and it's all a part of that journey heavenward. It matters. Let God seal that decision in people's hearts today. And may we as a church be those that come around them and love them and pour into them. We want to help you get started. We want to help you succeed. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody. Such a pleasure.
Come on, let's give a big hand for Scotty. What a great word. I'm going to ask Scott to stay up as well, because I really believe when someone preaches, you know, they have an anointing on their life for the word that's been brought as well. Why don't we stand to our feet? And if you'd like some prayer today for anything, just come to the altar today. If you need healing in your body, if you need a breakthrough in your life, if you need a job, whatever it is, maybe you're having relationship issues, let's pray for each other today.